Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. The title of our message this morning comes from one word found in our text, contrary. Contrary means hostile, obstinate, opposite, conflicting, contradictory, in opposition. And you will find that word as we read it in a little bit. But if you would, let's stand together. The book of Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 10, before we get down to Jesus walking on the water and Peter. And verse 10 says, "And he sent and beheaded John in the prison." That's John the Baptist. "And Herod has promised anything to the daughter that has danced before him at his birthday party. And she asked for the head of John the Baptist." And verse 11 says, "And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother." Can you imagine a birthday party and somebody's head is brought in on a charger? You talk about gruesome, huh? Verse 12, "And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for men like John the Baptist who preached the truth. Lord, we know in today's world, many churches are preaching things that please man instead of pleasing you. Help us, Lord, to remain faithful to the Word of God. Give us strength and encouragement to remain true. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Jesus' friend, his cousin, the forerunner, John the Baptist, has been executed. When Jesus heard of it, he departed into a desert place apart. Let's begin reading at verse 14. "And Jesus went forth and saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, 'Bring them hither to me.' And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Jesus saw and was moved with compassion toward them." Are you not glad that he has compassion on your soul? That he was willing to die that we might have eternal life? "Give ye them to eat." Can I tell you this? We live in a world that is spiritually hungry and they need the Word of God. You know, I just mentioned that we have been helping Brother Holden up there in Paradise, Michigan. And he has a lot of people come in during the summer that visit his church there in Paradise. And we're glad that we can help so that he can feed them spiritually. Well, we find that Brother McCourt, whose church there in Toledo, Ohio, or outside of Toledo, Ohio, in Oregon, Ohio, is purchasing a building, a church building that has the people decided that they no longer wanted to be a church by themselves, and they have joined with another building, another group, and that building is now available. And it's good that we can help them spread the gospel. Can I tell you this? People need the Lord. Can I tell you this? They need to be fed spiritually. That we need to be fed spiritually. That our children need to be fed spiritually. That our grandchildren need to be fed spiritually. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, I've often said that might be the greatest miracle of the day, is that this young boy still had his lunch. But he took the 5 loaves and multiplied them. I have often said, can you smell the aroma of that bread? It must have been marvelous. And then the 2 fishes, and they were able to eat till they were full. And there were probably at least 20,000 people at this gathering, 5,000 men plus women and children. Verses 22 and 23. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Jesus constrained or compelled his disciples to go by ship to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He sends them away. And after the disciples left, he sent the people away because he still needed to grieve the loss of his dear servant. We've all grieved at one time or another. One of the earliest missionaries that the Covenant Baptist Church supported was Wendell Hyers and his wife Daisy. And Daisy just went home to be with the Lord this past week. And the fact of the matter is, you grieve over the loss of a loved one, someone that you know. You know, they say that when someone passes, you go through denial. Then there's anger. Then there's depression. And then there's acceptance. I am sure that Jesus was bothered that Herod had killed John the Baptist. Now, our reaction would be to make Herod drop dead himself. But God's not that way. Aren't you glad he's not vindictive? Aren't you glad that the time you sinned first, and it was many years ago, that God didn't say, oh, you're done. You're going straight to hell. Because all of us would be then heading straight to hell, right? But he has compassion. He loves us. He loves us so much that God the Father sent God the Son to die for us. And Jesus goes up into a mountain apart to pray. And we note that he was alone. Do you think it's good to get alone once in a while and talk to the Lord? You know, I think sometimes it's good just to talk out loud to the Lord. And to tell him your burdens and your concerns and things that are bothering you. To ask him why. I don't think it's wrong to say, Lord, why? And he may move upon your heart to let you know why. And other times he just simply says, trust me. Have faith that I know what I'm doing. Verses 24 and 25. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Verse 24 begins with that word, but. But while Jesus was praying, the disciples were struggling. Have you ever struggled spiritually? Now, I hope that all of you have struggled spiritually, because I'd hate to think that I was the only one in this room that has ever struggled spiritually. There are times in which even a pastor wonders, why, Lord, what in the world is happening? There are times in which we say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I believe you're sovereign and you know what you're doing. We see the ship. We see it out there in the midst of the sea, in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. We note that it is a fishing ship, so that the walls on the side of the fishing ship are lower than normal, so they can pull the net into the ship more easily. And so with the low walls on the sides, the water is going to get in easier. Now, as I've already mentioned, my wife and two of our grandchildren, Shayla and Travis, and I went out on the cruise that takes you along the Pictured Rocks there in the Munising area. It's a national shoreline, and it's very interesting. But I'm going to tell you this, we were never in the midst of Lake Superior. Did you know that if they were to take the water of Lake Superior and spread it from the east coast to the west coast, it would be 5 foot deep across the whole continental United States? That's how much water is in Lake Superior. It is very deep. It's the largest freshwater body of water in the world. And I can tell you this, at 52 degrees, that is cold. Now, that's what it is on the surface, but if you get down deeper into Lake Superior at this time of the year, it's much colder than 52 degrees. Somewhere on that boat that we were on, and it could seat 300 people, I think there were probably 150 on it, they had life jackets, and they told us where they were, but you know what? I didn't want to have to use those life jackets. How about you? Now, we were probably, at most of the times, 200 or 300 yards away from the shore. In other words, we could see it the whole time. Sometimes we were closer. But I'm going to tell you this. I was listening to some people asking questions, and they said, at what point will you not go out? And they said, well, if the waves are more than 3 feet, we will not go out. Well, the day we went out, there weren't any waves at all. It was just almost flat. But you know, you can get seasick very easily. And here they are, being tossed. Now, tossing, I mean, you think about people tossing a football back and forth, right? But they're being tossed with the waves. For the wind was contrary. It was blowing in such a way that they weren't going anywhere. And sometimes it's hard on a pastor when it seems like the church is not going anywhere. And the waves are contrary and things are difficult. And we begin to wonder, why am I here? And I'm sure the disciples thought, Jesus, why did you send us out in this ship? Because did not Jesus know what was going to happen? And even while he was praying, they were going through a difficult time. Contrary. People can become contrary. Situations and circumstances and difficulties can come that make life rough. And in the fourth watch of the night, does your Bible tell you what the fourth watch of the night is? 3 o'clock in the morning. How many of you want to be awake at 3 o'clock in the morning? I mean, how many of you even know there's a 3 o'clock in the morning? Okay? Some of you know that. Yes. But you probably don't want to be up. Now, you may be, but you probably don't want to be awake at 3 o'clock in the morning. Anybody awakened last night about 12:30 when that storm went through? Yes. And the cracking of the thunder. I think it was next door. How many of you heard it last night? Some of you didn't hear it. Okay. But 3 a.m., they're out in the midst of the sea. Where should you be at 3 o'clock in the morning? In bed. Don't things seem worse at night than they do in the day? Yes. And at 3 a.m., Jesus went unto them. Hebrews 13:5 says, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Verses 26 and 27. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." The disciples saw him walking where? On the sea. And then he offers encouragement. I'm glad for the encouragement that we get from our Lord. I'm glad for the encouragement we can find in the Word of God. I'm thankful for the encouragement that we can get from songs. It is well with my soul. Don't you love that song? That our sins are covered not just in part, but the whole. Praise the Lord for that. Verse 28. "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Now, wouldn't it be great if it ended right there? Have you ever been victorious in your spiritual walk and then, uh-oh, an obstacle got in the way? Verse 30, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Bid me come. Lord, put my faith to the test. Have you ever asked the Lord to do that? To put your faith to the test? Make me, Lord, do something that is hard. To step out by faith. And he said, come. I believe that if we're willing to step out by faith, the Lord will go with us. And we need to do it. He walked on the water. Can you imagine that experience? Question. When Peter stepped over the side of the ship, why didn't the others go with him? Why didn't his brother Andrew and James and John and Simon the Zealot and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew, James the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Matthew, and Judas go too? They probably thought he was nuts. And oftentimes when you step out by faith, people will think you're nuts. But be willing to step out by faith. Be willing to be used of the Lord. But when he saw the wind, the obstacle that took his eyes, what? Off the Lord. He took his eyes off the Lord. When are we going to fail spiritually? It's when we take our eyes off the Lord and put it on something else. And one of the things we must be careful of is self-righteousness. I'm good enough. Can I tell you right now in this room, none of us are good enough? That all of us need to be growing spiritually? But when he saw the wind boisterous, he felt the spray. Whenever we step out by faith, Satan is going to try to distract us. Because he doesn't want us to be victorious. He doesn't want to see us walking on the water. He doesn't want to see us keeping our eyes on the Lord. He wants to put us in another direction. That's his desire. He was afraid, beginning to sink. Now, if you've been part of this church for any length of time, you realize that I do not like water over my head. When I was a father of young teenagers, the desire of Matthew and Brian was to get my head under the water when we were in swimming pools. That was their goal. And I would warn them, you're going to get hurt. Okay? I don't want water over my head. I don't mind wading. I enjoy wading. But don't put my head under water. I had a bad experience when I was a boy, and I don't want to even talk about it right now. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now ponder that. Jesus is on the water. There are 11 men in the boat. And Peter doesn't say to his brother, save me, Andrew. He doesn't say to James and John, his fishing buddies, save me. He says it to the one walking on the water. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Can I ask you a question? What if Jesus had not reached out his hand? Would that make Jesus any less God? No. Jesus is God. And God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And he said unto him, unto Peter, O thou of little faith. But he was also saying something to the other 11, wasn't he? Peter had what? Little faith. How about John and James and Andrew and Matthew? They had what? No faith. No faith. You know, we need to make sure that our faith is strong in the Lord today. How strong is your faith today? How willing are you to stand up for the cause of Christ? Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, I am bothered by what I'm seeing in America in 2021. I am bothered by what I'm seeing in the lack of concern that people have for church. We have people that we will never see again at the Covenant Baptist Church. They have simply dropped out and are no longer serving the Lord. As I was getting gas this morning, as I normally do on Sunday morning, I was amazed at how many people there at the gas station, and there, I don't know how many pumps are there at that station, 12 or 14. None of them looked like they were dressed to go to church. There's not a concern about church. And so we have a society that is spiritually dying and or dead. But you know what bothers me most? Not the lost who have no more concern for Christ. It's those who have been born again, who have decided that church is for another time and another period. I think it's sad that the church goes begging for people to get back involved. I think it's sad that we have people who have decided that, I can take it or leave it. I tell you what the church needs, folks, is people to be in the ship or they need to be willing to get out of the ship to go to Jesus. How strong is your faith today? How strong? Only you can answer that. Only you can say how strong your faith is and how much are you willing to do for the cause of Christ. While we were on vacation, we ate at a number of restaurants. Now, Munising is not Sterling Heights. They do have a Subway there and a Hardee's. But everything else is, you know, a mom-and-pop type place. Now, we did have pizza twice. We did have Mexican once. And, you know, it was good. But when we went out, do you think we prayed for our dinner? Or do you think we said, let's not pray right now. People are watching. You know, you need to pray when you go out to eat. You need to let people know you're not ashamed of the Lord. Your neighbors need to know that you're going to church. And they need to know that every Sunday that you go to the house of God. We need to have strong faith. Shall we stand together? 375 is the song our pianist and organist will play. The altar is here. You can come and pray either by yourself or we'd be glad to have someone pray with you. Can I say this? The most important thing that was going to happen right now is you get your heart right with the Lord, that you are right with Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, during this invitation time that you would bless. May the Spirit move. May hearts be touched. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.